Well, greetings once again out there to everybody here at TFMR. Hey, it is Tuesday, March the 6th, and we have for you a rather special edition podcast. On the line, I have with us a couple of old friends of the site, one Tom Coughlin, and also Andrew McGuire. Now, Tom, you may recall, we've talked to him before. He is the CEO of the Allocated Bullion Exchange, but he's also the CEO of a brand new, I guess we'll call it a cryptocurrency, but we'll explain that further from here, called Kinesis. So he's CEO of Kinesis Limited. Andy, as most everybody knows, an old pal of ours, he is the CEO of Gold Star Global, his gold company. But he's also on the advisory board for both the ABX and for Kinesis. And I thought today would be a great opportunity to explain Kinesis to everybody, what makes it unique and revolutionary, but also why we got Andy on the line. Ask him as to how this can be so disruptive to the bullion banks and their fractional reserve system going forward. So with that, gentlemen, welcome. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Craig. Thanks for your time today.
And Andy, thank you.
Great to be with you again, Craig.
Okay, guys, let's start with you, Tom, because, again, you're the CEO of Kinesis, and a lot of folks are now familiar with the cryptocurrencies, their role in the, I guess, the future monetary system, how blockchain fits into all of that. And you've got this idea now of Kinesis.
So I guess today is about sort of introducing what we have been developing at Kinesis. I've spoken to your audience before about Allocated Bullion Exchange, which we've made great leaps and strides ahead over the last couple of years, some very big ones to help infiltrate that the paper market. But today I'll make it more so about Kinesis and what we've developed there. So effectively what we've put together with Kinesis is not just a currency, call it a digital currency, but actually an entire closed-loop monetary system. Of course, the first step in putting that together is actually focus in on building out the greatest possible currency. And so we focus in on, you know, what makes a currency great. And the obvious first steps, okay, is it an effective store of value? Of course, as your audience would no doubt appreciate, we have two first initial primary currencies backed by gold and backed by silver, gold being the greatest store of value that the world's ever seen, the currency created by the universe ultimately and not by people. Whether you focus on different points throughout all of history, it's been appreciated by different civilizations all around the world, and it is by far the undisputable champion as the greatest store of value that the world's ever seen, ultimately. And then we've focused in on, obviously, making our currency and an efficient medium of exchange. And this really comes down to we've utilized the technology that both blockchain and cryptocurrency technology has offered us these days, and taken the very best of the blockchain and cryptocurrency world and really applied it within our development there, because ultimately in building this out we still operate in an economy and a monetary system that's all interfaced into the fiat system. So to have efficiency and in currency utilization and basically using currency for the purchase of goods and services, we need that. So we've done a very big partnership deal with a large mobile bank, and we'll have our mobile wallet, which Kinesis will sit on inside that, and we will interface into almost every country all around the world, whereby we can facilitate domestic onboarding and offboarding of money. And that's more to say than any other cryptocurrency platform or exchange out there. But then we've sort of supercharged that and applied something that no one had ever really thought about before, because it wasn't possible before with the previous legacy sort of technology. And that's this yield system, which is not based on debt. You don't need to borrow and lend out to get a yield on anything, which sort of for some people, they find it difficult to get their head around, because mm-hmm. we're so ingrained in this, understanding that the only way to get a yield from money is actually by like borrowing it and lending it. And that's not the case. So we've actually created this ecosystem of shared wealth. And what it actually does is it shares in the economic activity of the entire system that we've put together. And for different roles and participation in the system, whether it be active participation or whether it be passive participation, passive being you just, you know, hold the currency and don't do anything else, and whether it be actually bringing this currency to life that we call minting, and then actually utilizing it, like using it as a currency, and then you become eligible for a yield. And we've put this in place, and what this yield system really does, it promotes and it stimulates the movement of the money, and that's really where our name comes from, kinesis, which is in Greek meaning movement.
Yep.
In biological terms, it's actually the undirectional movement from stimulus, and we also think that that's quite apt for a metaphor on what we're actually achieving here. Because unlike, you know, the fractional reserve banking system facilitating our fiat monetary system, whereby the money seems to move in really one direction, and that's towards the banks, we offer the ability for anyone, really, according to participation, to for the money to move in a fairly and honest and indiscript way in any direction according to participation. And so we consider at the system that we've created, it might sound a little bit funny, but I call it that we've kinetically charged money. We've created this stimulating system which stimulates and kinetically charges the movement of money. And this has some very important consequences, and certain things that have held back gold from being treated as a currency in the past. One, it's always been an effective store of value, right? That's just, gold will always be an effective store of value, whether it be in physical form, whatever, it's an effective store of value. But as a currency, you also need it to be an efficient medium of exchange. And so to do that, we've needed the technology, as I said. But then also, even if it's an efficient medium of exchange, you've still got this problem, which is a psychological phenomena. And what it is when I exist in an environment, an economy, and a monetary system, whereby the legal tender is a different currency, so in our case, it's fiat currency, and that's legal tender money, then I have to make a decision to take that fiat currency and move it into another form of currency. And in our case, it's gold or silver. Now, someone who makes that decision to do that, that means they value gold or silver over fiat currency. So therefore, they're actually inclined to hoard it and not use it as a payment currency, right? Because they're making that decision to actually invest in it in the first place. So what can we do to incentivize them to also use it as a payment currency? And we've done that through our yield system, which I'm happy to step you through later. But basically, it rewards people for, one, bringing their capital into the system, holding it as a currency, so then using it as a currency. But the rewards are actually really large. Basically, it's sharing in the whole economic activity of the system. And the more they use the currency, then the more share, proportional share of the basically of the economic system that they receive. So I'm happy to step you through it. But, you know, we've really focused in on what is money, how do we get it moving, and that's called velocity. And we're looking to, you know, take money to its maximum velocity, which then, you know, can actually stimulate economic activity without having to inflate money or
right.
devalue money.
Right.
At the moment, we have a system whereby, you know, like the Federal Reserve, the central banks of the world, ingrain in our psyche that inflation should be, you know, X percent per year, 3% or something per year. And that way it keeps people spending because the fear of prices going up. Through our system, prices can remain stable, but the incentive to actually spend and use your money comes from something different and actually comes from a sharing of the economic activity of the system. So it's an entirely new system. The mechanics and the facility put together is something really revolutionary, I feel. I'm certainly very proud. It's the proudest thing I've ever been part of. And it's taken a monumental effort by some very large partners that we've brought together and everything like that to bring this into fruition. Everyone I've spoken to out of the retail market or institutional market just understands the gravity of this entire thing. So,
Tom, yeah. let me see if I can kind of sum up then too for everybody listening as to what makes us unique and ultimately viable. Because that's sure. that's the key. That's got to be kind of a mass acceptance for it to grow. One, you've attached this yield, if we call it, you know, call it that, on this yep. Kinesis coin, and the yield is generated through the fees associated with the transactions where the coin is used.
Correct.
And
yes.
The more transactions that are generated, the velocity of those transactions basically increases the yield. So there's kind of a positive virtuous loop there. You've also,
yeah, that's right.
You've also created something that is not debt-based like fiat. It's actually, I guess we'll call it asset-based.
Yep.
People can take their gold or silver and convert it into the token or the coin, and you've got the facility to do that. That's what's also important is the time you spent
Correct.
Developing ABX is the facility to do that because you've got vaulting structures all around the world.
That's
and,
right.
And then lastly, Tom, if I understand it right, you've already gained a certain, well, I don't want to say a certain level of acceptance, because that makes it sound small, a significant level of acceptance through this work that you have with the Indonesian Post Office. Now, I think in the West, especially in America or Canada, the Indonesian Post Office, we think the Post Office is an inept bureaucracy where you drop off a letter and wait in line to buy a stamp. But in places like Indonesia, it is really a bank for people. So the acceptance and
for
use
sure.
of it through that bank by millions of people, you immediately have an audience, a group of people using it. And so it sounds like you've touched all three bases that really make this a viable thing that could really be revolutionary.
Yes, certainly, certainly. And just to comment on the Indonesian Post Office, I mean, throughout the sort of certainly the Asiana region and many, many parts of the world, whether it be MENA or Asiana region, the banks play a cornerstone role in the banking and payment and remittance industry.
I mean, the post office does.
Yeah, in the post office does, sorry. And, you know, in the case of Indonesia, for example, 65% of the population is either unbanked or underbanked.
Right.
And so if they need to pay any utility bills or something like that, they go to the post office. If they have any family members who are migrant workers and, say, working in the Middle East somewhere, they send home their pay packets via Western Union in cash, which arises to the postal system, to the post office, ultimately. And, you know, the family members go to the post office and they collect their cash, which is basically the post office just acting as agents
yeah.
for the likes of Western Union or MoneyGram. But Western Union, MoneyGram are taking sort of like 10 to 25%.
Yeah.
And ultimately, these post offices recognize that they can just do it a lot more efficient, and particularly with the advent of blockchain technology and it can be done. It facilitates a lot more efficient mechanism and facility to be able to exchange it. So, I mean, we've done a lot of work in Indonesia, but we're also working with the Indonesian Post Office in bring online these different postal systems around the world. And it's not just the Indonesian Post Office. There's going to be a lot of post offices joining this, and then ultimately connecting them all up. And the whole idea is to create a banking system outside the banking system, but a fair and honest banking system.
Right.
And because there's post offices everywhere, like bank branches, it makes it very easy.
Right.
Particularly in these societies which are extremely underbanked or unbanked.
And yeah. Poor and debt-ridden and slaves to this system.
Of course.
I mean, the West has enslaved so much of the third world through this debt-based system, and they're on this merry-go-round that they can't get off of, just more and more debt. And so this
100%.
Is very much empowering to, you know, I guess I don't want to degrade it, but for the third world. I mean, that's a term that gets used, but it's very empowering for them. And that's just a starting point. But again, that acceptance and that beginning of the process is where, I mean, you got to start someplace. And I think you've already got that, again, that acceptance built in with an audience here, and you can get going. So Tom, I probably come back another time and talk about how people in the West can, you know, directly get involved. But for now, just tell everybody the timeline. Where are we in rolling this out? And in the end, when do we want to get back to you and find out when things are coming together?
Yeah, sure. So as far as our entire ecosystem, we've got a number of different business units as part of that that really facilitate necessary requirements to do this closed loop sort of monetary system that we're building. At the moment, we're offering we're doing a token raise, which is really us selling a share of the revenue in the entire monetary system. We've got that open in pre-sale at the moment. It's available to everyone apart from non-accredited U.S. citizens, I'm sorry.
So, got it.
Yeah. And just because of the way that the securities law is in the United States, so we can't make the offer. Well, we've chosen not to make the offer available. It's just it's too treacherous
right.
in the United States to do it that way. Let's put it that way. And then I believe it's on the 1st of July, I'll have to confirm that we open our pre-ICO, so initial coin offering for the, I call it our currency suite, the Kinesis currency suite. And you've got a few months to participate in that and actually buy this currency in our primary market, which is a platform offered by ABX, actually. It's the ABX platform, institutional platform. And whoever purchases in that market during that two-month time window, then they will receive what I call pre-ICO yield benefits. So it's basically a higher share of the fees that they'll receive for participation and as a minter, for example. So as a minter, you can actually you become your own central bank. Mm-hmm. You create the currency. Money is for the people. So the people might as well own it and control it. That's not what's happening at the moment through our current system. That's what we're really focused on doing. So people can create their own money, and then on 1 October, then we'll actually start full blockchain trade through the system.
And people can buy the ICO when the time comes after the 1st of July with fiat, but they can also deposit some of their own metal, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So they can buy it with fiat or... with their own metal, it has to go through the ABX quality assurance system framework, I'm sorry. And then we can bring it into our vaults, which are spread across the world, actually. And basically, you can acquire Kinesis gold coins or Kinesis silver coins and bring it into the system. And these operate just like allocated physical metal. It's actually, it's a currency, it's a divisible currency But they act as like digital title to the medal, and it allocates title to basically the end user, the ultimate beneficial owner. So that's effectively what it does. We've also got wholesale contracts in there, which are allocated and segregated contracts. So people who buy those receive like the hallmark and the serial number of the bar, etc. So they can't use it as a currency because a currency needs to be divisible ultimately down to around, you know, a cent in value or so. So they can buy and sell those through the blockchain. It's just like gold trading through the blockchain. And, right, that's all it is.
And Tom, why wouldn't, at the end, why wouldn't institutional holders of metal or mining companies that are essentially institutional miners of metal, suppliers of metal, why would they not use this system once it's viable and up and running?
Well, they will. And right. We've already got commitments from institutional asset managers to bring in tons of metal into the system. I mean, we're going to be the largest ICO to date by far because of we're tapping into this pre-existing enormous market, which is the gold and silver markets. And with regards to the mines, we offer a tremendous value proposition, actually. And we've spoken to some of the asset managers who invest in the mines, and they've been taking it to the mines as well and say, hey, look, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
Because through our system, the mines can actually sell into our system. They'll get a better price than hitting, you know, like Bullion Bank's bid or something like that, or in anticipating at the fix. But then they build up this whole new revenue line.
Yep.
Which is the more metal that they sell into the system, then the more basically capital or money out there they have working for them. As that money passes through the system hand to hand, then they actually receive like a share of the transaction fees on it. So they're really incentivized to bring their supply into the system.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll be doing a roadshow where we meet, obviously, with all different types of participants. And everywhere I look, anyone can benefit from this thing, whether it be a miner, investor at the institutional or retail level, whether it be a user, someone who doesn't have a bank account, whomever it is. They can benefit from this system for sure. We're dealing with money here, and anyone who uses money can get value from this system.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to double back and monitor the progress of this because, again, it's revolutionary. But Andy, while I have you on the line, my friend.
Craig, good luck trying to keep this to 20 minutes, mate.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just too exciting. I need to run around with two oxygen tanks strapped to my back. This is just too exciting for words. This is the answer to everything that you've been working for, we've all been working for, what we've been talking about a long time, what the regulators haven't done. This is going to do it. Now, if I wanted to sum it up, it's the currency of the people.
Right.
I mean, this is a currency that it's a yield. It's a first-tier asset as per the Bank of International Settlements, and it's ethical because every single ounce runs through the quality assurance framework, which means it's KYC'd, which means that the mine it came from had to go through an LBMA refinery, which means that it's not blood gold. I mean, this is the perfect instrument for even people who have never even entertained gold.
Right. Everybody benefits, Andy. Everybody, all the users benefit rather than the banks benefit, you know, by charging interest on the fiat they create. Everybody that uses Kinesis benefits from it all the way down the line. But my friend, here's the thing. You know me and I know you. And our primary goal in life is to defeat these damn banks. I mean, they suck the life out of everybody and they have crushed the mining companies. They've enslaved the miners themselves, the employees. They've crushed the spirits of everyone that's tried to do the right thing, trying to own physical metal. So, Andy, and I mean, in our final minutes, just in the simplest terms, can you just explain to everybody here on my site and everybody listening why and how Kinesis can get the job done of finally putting a stake through the heart of some of these banks?
Kinesis is undoubtedly going to accelerate the process. Now, you know, look, Craig, you know very well, we've been watched this game for so long, this paper dilution. But where are we now? And along the process, we've seen the physical market liquidity flow. The paper market liquidity flowing into the physical markets elsewhere. Good God, what used to be 7 tons a day of deliveries in London is now migrated down to 3 tons. Yet we're still seeing 600 tons of paper gold cleared every day. I mean, so this ludicrous game has reached a point where the beginning to lose control of the physical market. So what are they doing? We know what the elephant in the room is right now is the outflow of exchange for physicals, mm-hmm. which are pure paper. It's a pure paper game where paper contracts are being hedged or sold into more paper contracts. Now, so what's the most common question? I know we don't have long here. So what's the most common question I get every day? When will this end? When will this paper market game end? And I say, well, it's not likely until Kinesis forces a bottom-up physical demand. Bearing in mind, we've got three-second global centralized clearing in the physically settled ABX hubs, which gram for gram back up billions of dollars of Kinesis transactions. What is this? It's physical. It's mm-hmm. actual physical. I mean, the power of adoption here by the post office we just talked about the other institutionals that we're talking about, it comes out of the gate with billions of dollars worth of momentum. And this velocity that Tom's talking about, it's a whole subject on its own. But I think it's going to, yes, of course, this is going to disrupt the at-the-margin balance right now that we're seeing, where we're seeing really unfactored physical demand that's going to come in from Kinesis into the physical market from the bottom up within the ABX wholesale network. And that means cannot be bought with paper. These transactions, when somebody orders silver or gold, and it by utilizing their currency, it physically has to be bought. Well, what's going to happen? Of course, the offer to sell is going to rise.
Right.
Now, what's that going to do to the trillions of dollars worth of over-the-counter derivatives that are not able to be marked to market? It's going to force the reset. And we've been talking about this reset for such a long time. Well, you know what? It was inevitable to happen anyway. And when we see this degree of EFPs coming out, where we are talking tens of thousands of tons of silver, ludicrous.
Right.
We're seeing the difference between the physical deliveries on a daily basis, which we track at around 3 tons a day, and then we average that out with what is flying out per week, per day in the EFPs. And we're talking about a massive tonnage difference every single day. So we're talking about, when we average it out, 2.5 times per week, annualized 2.5 times the annual production of gold being flywheeled in through these EFPs
right.
into an unallocated market, and that is based upon actual numbers published, and that is published numbers versus what's delivered in London every day. That is the difference. It's disappearing into this hole. What's that doing? It's increasing the leverage that we knew about. What? In 2010, the Reserve Bank of India said something about 92 to 1. That didn't account for derivatives, which could have been 500 to 1. What is this doing? It's creating this sort of leverage. It has to be 1,000 to 1, Craig. This has to be – someone has to pay the piper at some point.
Right.
I think with at the margin, paper versus physical – this equation that is constantly flowing into the physical market, it's just going to take a small change in supply demand fundamentals. And what I'm saying is Kinesis has the tool to do it.
So this expedites. I mean, this is just further expedites the end of the bullion banks, yeah. because we are squeezing them, we're stretching their ability to margin and leverage. Even more thin. I saw a stat from somebody last week about if you could stretch all the gold ever mined into a 5-micron wire, it would wrap around the world a million times or something. We're stretching the bank's supply into that micron, you know, wire, and making it that much more difficult for them to keep their system going. And that's what we've been talking about, Andy, you and I, for years. But even beyond that, Tom, you mentioned earlier, even even if somehow the banks were able to maintain this hand-to-mouth system of supplying physical metal into the paper price, in the face of all of this metal getting out of their grasp, even coming from the mining companies getting out of their grasp, even in the face of that, just taking gold and silver and now giving people an opportunity to earn a yield off of it eventually increases the demand for gold and silver. And even if the system continues, there's more demand and thus pushes up the price, right?
100%. I mean, ultimately, when we look at investments, any investment asset class, then the most definable and comparable factor, if looking at risk to return, is actually the yield. So if we can try to understand and project the future yield on something, then that's just, we put it into nominal monetary terms and we can compare that against other investment classes. The risk associated with other investment classes is a little bit more difficult to understand. But in the case of gold and silver, we can look back historically and look at the volatility and understand what the risk is there. That's more to say than any other cryptocurrency market. Even if you look at the three biggest ones, wow, it's been a wild ride. So, you know, very risky, difficult to understand the risk there. But we're taking something that has quite understandable risk and then attaching this yield system to then project that out, and we can really project that out quite accurately and understand the yield and the return there, and that yield and return gets compared against other investment assets. Mm-hmm. And as we build a track record after being live, and we show that yield, and that yield's going to be compared up against other investment asset classes, like bank deposits, dividends, or whatever. We become comparable. See, gold, there's not that many, there's a very small proportion of people in the world that own gold, and perhaps one of the things holding it back is ownership ownership terms is the fact that it doesn't have a yield. And this defeats that whole logical argument because it attaches the yield and then makes it a much more comparable investment asset. And therefore, we will for sure attract investment from other asset classes because it becomes a comparable factor. If we're producing this yield, then we become a comparable factor, and then that yield adds to the value of the asset.
Exactly.
Ultimately, if I'm owning stock on the stock market, how does that stock have value? As stock, it has value to the extent of its income-producing abilities. And the same will apply with gold in our system as well.
Exactly. You've got the capital appreciation of the growing company plus the dividend, and you know, you've got something you want to invest in. And what you're doing here, that's the key of this with what you've done, the groundwork of the ABX supporting it all, the kinesis, which creates income, and the acceptance that you've already got built in with where the starting point will be. Then as it grows and people see, wait a second, I can participate this. I got capital return. I got the growth of the value of the coins, and I get a dividend. Why would I not want to have my gold doing that for me rather than just sitting in a vault someplace? It continues to delever the system and pressure the banks, gets the mining companies excited to use it as well. And again, what it does for the people of the world that have been put at such a disadvantage by the debt-based system, everything about it just sounds great, guys. And at this point, I think what we'll do is I'll let everybody digest what they've heard so far, and then maybe we can get back together as we approach the summertime for an update as to how things are coming and keep people abreast of the progress that you're making.
Yeah. And please check us out at kinesis.money as well. We've got our pre-sale happening in our velocity tokens, as we call them, KVTs.
And people will see that link right here on this page so that you can do your own homework, do your own due diligence, and go from there. But guys, I'm so excited.
100%.
I'm just so excited with what you've done. Selfishly.
Thank you, Craig.
Selfishly, frankly, because, again, I want to kill the banks before they kill me. And
we're doing our best.
Yeah, you guys are helping me out.
We're freedom fighting as best as we can.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get my hair to go back to its original color or anything like that, but this is a start. So thank you, gentlemen. Tom, all the best. Safe travels. Andy, all the best to you, too. And please keep working for us, would you guys?
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate the time.
Okay. And everybody out there, thank you for listening. And I promise I'll keep you updated on the great stuff happening with Kinesis.